Well, church family, I don't know about you, but that was some really awesome worship. Just today, God wants to speak to you. Today, God is not asking you to make peace happen in your life. Today, God wants to be peace in your life. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, as we've been reading, I want to put up here in the text that we've kind of been our text for the whole series, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And we've noted that this fruit of the Spirit is not do these things. It's let these things grow in you. Let this character be developed in you. This is the character of God. It's the fruit of God. The Spirit is saying, this is who I am. I am manifesting, I am making evident who I am in you. I am growing my character in you. I want you to know me this way, to know me as the God of love. I am love. Without me, you cannot know love, God says, because I am love. You can't have true joy, eternal joy, ever joy that surpasses all understanding if you don't know love. If you don't know God as love, you can't truly have joy. You can have happiness. You can have earthly pleasures that come and go and come and go, but you cannot know joy if you don't know God, because God is joy. It's who he is. There is pleasure in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They enjoy one another. They glorify one another. They make much of one another. They worship one another. They do the will of one another. They make joy. And we are asked and said, come into this joy. Come into this relationship. Encounter this joy. Well, today, God wants to bring you peace. God wants you to know him as the peace of your life. Not to give you a calmness in your life. We're not going to do the lotus position and be like, and try to meditate and make all these things go away and have a calm spirit. God wants you to know him for who he really is. He is a God of peace. That's what we're looking at today. And we come with all of our struggles and things that war in our lives, our stresses, our anxieties, our pain, our fear. All these things war at us knowing our God of peace. So what I want you to be able to do is we're going to pray right now so we can hear from God. Is I want you to we're going to take a second. I'm going to pray for us and have it be quiet, and then I'll close this in prayer. But I want you to lay at the feet of the cross this morning the things that are not allowing you to have peace. It could be financial. It could be wounds, it hurts, emotions, fears. I want you to lay whatever it is, the anxiety, the stress, what you maybe even have going on later this afternoon, or conversations with people that have upset you. Lay all of it at his feet. Because he doesn't want to just take your conflict and your chaos. He wants to be your peace, your good. So let's pray. Lord, there's so much that wars against who we are. So much that we struggle with, whether it's internal, about how we see ourselves, whether it's our value in this world. So many things that are we can be afraid of. Things that upset us, anger us. Things that plague us emotionally. Things that weigh heavy upon us. Lord, you say, you are the Prince of Peace. So Prince of Peace, we come to you. We lay our burdens at your feet. We lay our struggles and our pain and our chaos and the war of this world, our sin and our brokenness. We lay it at your feet. Take it. Take our worry. So right now, just confess what you need to the Lord. Ask him to take it. And ask him to replace it with him. Ask him to be enough in your heart. Lord, we come before you right now. Speak to us in your word. Speak, may your Holy Spirit just fill this place. May your Holy Spirit move through this place, touching every man, every woman here, drawing our hearts to you. May we be at peace with you, God. May we know you as our peace. We ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is peace? Well, that might be something as simple as, you know, the nose on my face. We kind of all have an idea of what we think peace is. It's just a lack of conflict. A lack of conflict within. A lack of conflict with others. And a lack of conflict with God. That's what peace is. In some level, it's a lack of conflict. Conflict with God, conflict with one another, but also a conflict within. The next 2 weeks, this week, I'm just going to focus really on is our conflict with God, because it's the foundation. When we have that worked out, the next two, the conflict we have with one another and the conflict that we have within our own souls, our own hearts, it's easier to deal with. And find that peace when we have that peace with God. See, the word peace, it's more than just dealing with conflict. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But the Greek word for peace, some of you may know this word because you may know someone who's named with this word. Irene. Does anybody know someone with the name Irene? Have a family member? Yes. If you're named that or you know them, it's because your mom and dad, when they said, hey, I'm going to name our daughter Irene, they're hopefully that she's going to be a peaceful person. She's going to bring peace. Now, I have no idea if you've lived up to your name. I have no idea if that's true of you. I don't. That's for you and your husband to decide. But the idea of peace in the New Testament is especially with what the apostles write about, is directly connected to the Old Testament concept of peace. I mean, the definitions of them are interchangeable. Does anybody know that Old Testament word that it may be the only Hebrew word that many of you know? Shalom. Shalom. It's more than a greeting. It's not hello. It's not welcome. It's peace. It's not only a greeting, but it's what they say, the Hebrews say goodbye in. Shalom. Peace. Let the peace of God be upon you when you come into my presence. Let the peace of God that is upon me be upon you when you enter into my home. And when you leave my home, may the peace of God that is on me go with you. Shalom. We see passages throughout the Old Testament talking about the shalom of God, the peace of God. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 and 26. We're used to saying this as a benediction in church. But listen to the shalom of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, that's his face, his light, his holiness, upon you and give you shalom, peace. Peace in Scripture is more than just a lack of conflict. But you don't just have something taken away from you in that conflict. You have something given to you. Goodness, well-being, the presence of God in your life. He is the gift to you. When God is our shalom, when he is our peace, he not only takes away the conflict we have with him, but he now rests us in his goodness. We've looked at the fruit of the Spirit and love and joy. These are not behaviors. These are characters of who our God is. And when you know God, you know love. When you are in that God's love, you have joy. Because he is so good and so loving. If you've ever had someone love you and care for you and want the best for you, you don't walk away Mr. Grumpy Pants anymore. You walk away like, I feel blessed. You have someone who comes and greets you and hugs you, and like, you just like, wow, they genuinely care about me. You walk away like, wow, that cheered me up. God's way more than just a little cheer up. The deepest longing of your heart and soul is love. All that we've gone after in our lives, our jobs, our security, all of our the provisions for us, anything that the world says, this is good, it's a chasing after love. Every physical pleasure, everything we medicate with to feel better is all of us chasing after love. If you don't know God as love, then you will never know the joy of the Lord. But if you know our God is love and his joy is upon you, you can also know the peace of God. It's like those, you ever seen those magicians who they have those circles, those rings, and they cling them together and somehow they're locked together and they give them to you and you have no idea how to get them apart. I have no idea how to get them apart. And then they take them and you're like look like an idiot, like, boom, see how easy it is. You do it again. I can't do it. I can't bring them together. I can't separate them. Love, joy, and peace are so interlocked. It's just almost like this trinity of the characteristics of God. Love, joy, and peace, they are so interwoven to one another. If you cannot have peace and be absent from joy, you can't have peace and be absent from love, because it's all of who God is. If you know God as love, his peace is upon you. Because his presence is upon you. His goodness is upon you. He wants you to tap into it. He wants you to encounter it. He wants it to grow in you and transform you so that you are like him. So may the Lord bless you with his presence. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May his grace be upon you. May his countenance be looking at you. And that gives you peace. We see peace being expressed in the presence of Jesus Christ coming into this world. In our Christmas songs, in our Christmas, we sing. We notice the Shalom declaration in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 14. When the angels are singing about the glory of Jesus, they say, glory to God in the highest and on earth, shalom, peace towards those with whom his favor rests. When God's favor is upon you, there is peace. And the lack of peace means that you're not resting in his love, not resting in his joy. Not valuing his love or his joy. When joy is robbed from you, there is no peace. But Christ came to be our peace. He came to take away the conflict we have with God and bring us the goodness of God upon us, to bring the glory of the Lord upon us. He came to do this for us. So why do we need this peace? Well, that's a pretty obvious answer. You look around and you see conflict. It's the conflict season right now. We call it the political season. It's the season of anger and hate and backstabbing and gossip and made-up stories and bad-mouthing. It's conflict. Why? Because we have a society that does not know the love of God. We have a culture that does not surrender to God. We have communities that don't. We have racial tension, economic tension, all this angst and fear. Why? Because we don't know as a culture, as a society, as human beings, the peace of God. I have a hard time believing in a politician who says they're a follower of Christ, yet stirs up hate and anger, that stirs up division, that calls people and names and things and getting into fights that are frivolous. How can someone know the peace of God and cause conflict? This is why Satan is called the great divider, the accuser of the brethren, the attacker of those who know peace. You see, we battle with this all the time in our lives. We've looked at Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit, but right before it, as Paul goes into this conversation in Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17, notice the battle that is going on, the lack of peace. He says, I say to you, walk by the Spirit. That's our call to be in the peace. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We're not going to gratify what's calling on us. But the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed, at war, in conflict with each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do, which is to live for the Lord, to walk in His love. When we have conflict within us, when we have conflict with one another, when we are self-loathing and attacking ourselves and putting ourselves down, I'm not good enough, I'm not loved enough, God doesn't care about me, we start believing those lies about ourselves. They're not good enough, they're not pleasing enough, they're not loving enough, they're not holy enough, we're pointing the finger at others and causing conflict with one another. All of that is because there is a war within us. The war of the Spirit that says, no, your peace is found in Christ. Your love and value is found in Christ. Your greatest joy is found in Christ. Stop giving into the desires of the flesh to war in conflict, because Satan and sin wants to rob you of the peace of God within you. How many of you have had that peace robbed from you this week? I have. How many of you felt that conflict within you? Maybe even this morning. I have. The battle is real. Satan wants to keep us from embracing and knowing and expressing the joy of the Lord and the love of the Lord by taking away our peace. This all began way back in the book of Genesis. Way back with our great-grandfather and great-grandmother. Genesis chapter 3. We see is Adam and Eve. Many of you know this. You've grown up in the church. This is where Satan comes into the garden and tempts Adam and Eve to take of the fruit that is forbidden. And it says this in starting in verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, you're not going to surely die. Remember, that's what will happen if you take of the fruit. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight, it's beautiful to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, so you covet it, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and when they knew that they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from his presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid of you, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So we see in this narrative here, the fall of humanity into sin, and you notice the conflict happening. The conflict between God and humanity, and between man and woman. Conflict arises. God knows when you eat, and God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. That's what the serpent promised them. You can't trust your God. You can't trust his authority over you. God's not as good as he portrays himself to be. You've got to be in control of your life. You've got to make things happen. And God's keeping you from greater things. You can be the God of your life, of your pleasures, of your good. You can be your own authority. You don't need God. That's what all of our sin is saying to us. The battle of the flesh that we just looked about in Galatians is saying the same thing today as it was all the way back in the garden. Satan is saying to your heart all the time, you don't need God. You can, with your own worry, with your own strength, with your own mind and skills and ability, you can be the authority of your life. You can make your own good and your own pleasures and your own things. And that causes conflict with God. Sin wants us to war with God. That's what verse 9 and 10 is saying. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid of you." Sin wants to tell you, be afraid of God. And God said, "Wait a minute, I'm the God of peace. I'm the God of love. I'm the God of joy. And I've come to you. I feel the separation with you. I've come for you, Adam and Eve, and I feel the separation. And you're running from me. You're hiding from me. You're distancing yourself from me." Sin separates us from God. And then in verse 11 through 13, what do we see happen? Sin separating man and woman. Adam passing the buck, instead of saying, I know I shouldn't have eaten of that. Instead of confessing his fault, admitting his sin, repenting from his sin, he goes, it's the woman you gave me. He's accusing her of evil instead of owning his own evil. Accusing her of wrong instead of dealing with his own conflict within. I didn't trust you. I listened to sin. I listened to Satan. It's my fault. What did Adam do? He passed the buck. Eve didn't do much better. She knew she was the first one to listen to the serpent. She knew she listened to him. She had the whole long conversation with him. She knew she was the first one, but the serpent you created, he's at fault. He deceived me. He tricked me. You believed him. You followed him. You took and ate. Sin, this is what it does to us. It creates conflict within us. Paul describes it this way in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. He says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins in which we once walked. We are following now the course of this world. We're following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all, not a few people, all, everyone in this room, all, everyone in this world, all once lived in the passions of our flesh. If you don't know Christ, this is you. You're carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and you call them good. But you were by nature children of wrath. That's who we, if we are in Christ, we once were. And Satan wants to keep you in that conflict. He wants to keep you in that bond servant. He wants to keep you in that obedience to sin. He wants to keep you enslaved and trapped in that, not believing God is good. Therefore, I'll never know the love of God. I'm always going to try to earn blessings from God. If I just do things for God, then I'll get his love. No, he's saying, come abide in me. Come live in me. Come believe in me. Come rest in me. Come find peace in me. Don't do. Your doing is what got you in this mess. Stop. Get your hands off the wheel. Let me drive. Let me lead. We've looked at several weeks now where peace is found, where love is found, where joy is found. And Jesus uses this illustration of himself as a vine and a branch. But in John 14, verse 1, he says, before even talking about abiding in him as the vine and the branch, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't have chaos in your life anymore. Let go of the angst. Let go of the calamity. Let go of the pain and the fighting and the war by believing in God and believing also in me. The reason why we don't have peace, it's a deep revealer of what we believe or don't believe in. If you are constantly feeling like you're not good enough with God, that you've got to earn blessing from God, why I'm going through all this pain and suffering and struggles, Lord, you must not love me, I must not do things right, then you're not believing in the gospel. You're believing in a false love, a sin, Satan-led love. His love for you has nothing to do with what you have done, but what he has done for you. Believe that this morning. Then right after this, chapter 16, he says, I've said all, so everything, a summarization of all that Christ has taught and done in this moment. He says, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Now in the world, if you go live in the world, there's going to have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus, I want you to come take refuge in me. I want you to come live in me. In me there is peace. Not in anything else, not in your job, not in your money, not in your marriage, not in sex, not in pleasures, not in strength, not in youth. There is no peace in those things. I am your peace. I am where you take refuge. Now, you may have heard of this if you've been in Bible study anytime, you know, in your life. It's a thing in the Old Testament called the city of refuge. The city of refuge, if you didn't know this in the Old Testament, were cities that were actually the only cities that were led by the Levite priests. There were six of them. And these cities were designed by God for a specific reason. Yes, there's normal life and culture going on, but there are to be cities that are led under the rule of these Levites, under the law of God, under the teaching of God, and there to be a refuge for when people commit manslaughter. If manslaughter is not murder, manslaughter is we're pulling our wagon and I got, you know, my neighbor Joe is walking alongside helping me, and all of a sudden the wheel breaks and the wagon falls on top of him and kills him. Well, his family's gonna be angry. They're gonna want revenge. They want justice. They're gonna come after me. Or somebody else in town, we bump into each other. He gets pretty upset. Tempers go, and he pushes, I push, he trips, he falls, hits his head on a rock, and he dies. I didn't mean to kill him. I committed manslaughter. His whole family, his whole clan, they're not just gonna come after me, they're gonna come after my whole family. And there's gonna be war. So I only have one option. Run. Take everyone I can and get to a city of refuge. Run to the city. And when you get to one of these cities, you're supposed to come to the city gates. They're always locked. They have to be permitted in. And you are to stand before the elders of the city, who are the Levites, and you are to plead your case. You are to confess, this is what happened. I need help. I am responsible for that, or this is what was going on, but I need refuge. I need protection. I can't, they're coming, here they come to destroy me. They're coming after me, and they let you in. And once you're permitted in, the pursuer who's coming after you for retribution is not allowed in. You are safe in that city. Now the high priest is going to oversee your case. A man of God with God's word is going to pray over your case and stand over your case. And he is going to help. The Levites were trained in mediation. How to mediate equal payment for what was lost. Yes, Brian was negligent. Yes, he messed up. Yes, he did that. But he didn't murder your brother. He committed a mistake. And here's what that's going to look like. He's going to sell this land. He's going to do these things. They're going to let go of these servants, and they're going to be given to you as recompense for that. And Brian's going to live the rest of his life in this city. So he will have protection the rest of the time he is in this city, as long as the high priest is over him, over this, lives. I would live under the protection of the walls of that city and under the declaration of that high priest. Live in that. What does the Bible tell us? Who is our great high priest? Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about me outliving Christ. As long as I take refuge in him, I have always protection. I have safety and security. I have a new identity and a new life in the refuge of his walls, of his love, of his care, of his joy. I have a new refuge in him. I have a new dwelling place in Christ. This is what we've been looking at. When Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches, he says, come live where? At Trinity? No. Come live in me. Does he say, go live in Hawaii? No, it's on fire. Come live in me. Does he say, go live in your job? Take refuge in your money. Take refuge in your health care. Take refuge in your government. No. Take refuge in me. Bring your angst. Bring your fear, bring all of your life, bring your family, bring your treasures, bring everything and bring it into my community, bring it into my kingdom. My kingdom come, my will be done now on earth in your life as it is in heaven. You are no longer in charge of your life. You're under the leadership of the great high priest who proclaims his word over you. But instead of you having to make recompense, instead of you having to pay the payment for your sin, instead of you having to pony up, he says, you know what? I'm gonna pay for all of your sin. I'm gonna pay for all of your struggles. I'm gonna pay for all that you're going through. I am the one that you cry out to. I take it all. All you have to do is cry out to me, and I let you in. Like blind Bartimaeus, if you remember in the book of Luke 18:39, who cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to take refuge in you. I need your mercy poured out on me. I need your power. We are called to take refuge in the name of the Lord. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. We are to dwell in the kingdom of God, to dwell in his peace. In John 5:24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, they have eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Where is their life? In Christ. He paid everything we need through his life. He prophesied that he would do this in Isaiah 53, verse 5. God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah about Jesus, said he was wounded for our transgressions, or pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us shalom, peace with God. And with his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. If you feel like God doesn't like you, you're not paying attention. If you don't feel like God loves you, you're not listening to the gospel. If you feel like you're unsafe with God, then you don't know God. His love. He's saying, come to me. Come take refuge in me. Let me take care of you. Let me lead you. Let me make much of you, because I am a God of joy. Bring you into my glory and bathe you into my glory. Pour my love on you and my mercy upon you to wash away your past sins. You know you're guilty of. Your present sins you're struggling with, and your future sins. I've paid it all. I've paid it all. When you hear the gospel needs to bring you peace in your greatest chaos, in your greatest pain. The gospel is, it changes you. That you handle the chaos and the hurt of this world radically different than anyone else can. When the world looks and goes, how do you have so much peace while you're in so much pain? Ah, I know peace because I take refuge in the Lord. Randolph Spattard. I'm sure you all know who that is. You will in a second. He wrote one of the most famous hymns that we sing in church all the time. He was a part of the ministry of D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody, during the time of the Chicago Fire, in the 1800s, decided to go to England and do some ministry there. And Spattoff wanted to go with him and be with him. And so he had to take care of some business dealings at home in Chicago since the fire and get his stuff in order. So he sent his wife and his three daughters on a boat across the sea to England to be with D.L. Moody. And on the way, another boat struck their vessel and the boat went down. And many hands were lost. He got a telegraph from his wife saying, only I survived. He lost his three daughters in that tragedy. So in his pain, in his sorrow, he gets back on another boat and starts sailing for England. And on the way, the captain slows the boat down and brings him on deck to let him know this is about where that great tragedy happened. And while he sees that, he retreats back to his cabin, not into sorrow, but to write this hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows are like sea billows that roll onto me, whatever is my lot in my life, thou, my God, has taught me to know, not hope in, not roll the dice, to know with steadfastness that it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, that means attack, though trials should come upon me, let this blessed assurance control me that Christ has regarded my helpless estate of my life. He hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought when he thinks about his sin and his plight. He says, my sin, not in part, but the whole. All of my sin, past, present, future, all my misgivings that caused me chaos in my life, it is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. For me, be it Christ. Be it Christ, hence to live for Christ. If Jordan above me shall roll, it fall apart, no pang shall be mine. For in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. But Lord, it is for thee. For thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angels, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. And the Lord haste the day when my faith will become sight and the clouds will be rolled back as a scroll. The trumpets shall resound and the Lord, he will descend. A song in the night, O my soul. With the beautiful refrain, it is well. It is well with my soul. Do you find peace in the Lord? Comfort in the Lord? Strength in the Lord? Joy in the Lord? Because he has taken everything that separates you from him and he has brought you peace. Nothing in this world can separate you from the love of God. Nor height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor spirits of the air. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Because God is love and he is greater than anything. And when you know him, you know the greatest good that has ever existed. You belong to him today. Take refuge in the Lord. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we cannot talk about your peace without talking about the chaos of this world and the pain of this world and the hurt of this world. But you've come to be our peace that surpasses all understanding. You've come to be our shepherd, to lead us through this valley of the shadow of death. You've come to be the one who leads us into great pasture, to feed us, to take care of us. And you've come to be the one who laid down your life for us as the sheep, so we can live forever in your pasture. Lord, may we know you this way. Lord, may we know you in your peace. May we know you in your love. Lord, may your peace lead us and guide us. May we bring come before you and take refuge in you. Because you have paid the ultimate price to take away our sin so that we might know your peace. Lord, may our hearts be at peace with you right now. May our hearts be full of joy right now because we know your love right now. We worship you, Lord. And so as we go to take the communion, we want to commune with you. Be in you and be in your peace. Be in your love. To be in your joy. We ask and we pray this in Jesus' name.